Okay, we're in a sermon series called The Lord's Prayers, where we're looking at that prayer that we prayed together and different aspects of it, but also other prayers that Jesus prayed. And it's to learn about prayer, for sure, but also it's just Jesus. When Jesus teaches us, this is like core elements of what you should pray and how you should pray, we actually learn about life, not just about prayer. We learn about God. We learn about how he thinks about things and how maybe we should think about things. So that's what we're doing today. The core passage, or the foundational passage for this series, is Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. It says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray.' Jesus said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" So a couple weeks ago, what we talked about is when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he started with, what or who are you praying to? Get into touch with what or who you're praying to. It's not just about circling anxiety or finding the force. Jesus says we're praying to a person, to Father, not just a person who loves us. So our Father who is in heaven, in the heavens, means he is all the way to the highest heavens, but also means he's right here in our midst, and we can talk to him like he's right here because he is. And because Jesus died on the cross and isn't ashamed to call us brothers and sisters and welcome us into his family, those who want him can be part of his family, then we can pray this prayer with Jesus, our Father. And what did the Father say to Jesus? "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And when he looks at Jesus' brothers and sisters, he says, "These are the people I love." In 1 John, it talks about, it's so amazing how God the Father has lavished love on us and called us his children, because that's what we are. Those of us who are connected to Jesus, we're God's kids, and he loves us, and he loves to give good gifts. And so that sets up what we talked about last week, which is now Jesus is just going to say, you can start asking for things. He said, teach us how to pray. Who is it you're praying to? What does that being think of you? He loves you. He's for you. He wants to be with you. Okay, now ask him for things. But Jesus, the first thing he asks for is, hallowed be your name. Like, Father, glorify your name. That's not the top of my list when I'm praying. My top of my list is like, hey, help me in this situation. Hey, it'd be great if this worked out well. Hey, could you change that person over there? Hey. But his first thing is like, no, first thing, I want you to be known as you really are. You are so incredible. I want everyone to know you as you really are. I want my life to help show you as you really are. That's right, top priority for Jesus. And the higher priority it becomes for us, even though it feels unnatural, the kind of, we'll have a different perspective on life. And we will be moving with the rhythm that God, who created the heavens and earth and life itself, moves with. Because we have prioritized the things the way he does. Now this week, it's your kingdom come. Jesus tells those who are trying to learn how to pray, pray your kingdom come. Well, we don't have kingdoms. They did back then. They had kings and kingdoms, so this wasn't just sort of like spiritual religious language to them, which is how it could feel to a lot of us who don't really have kings or kingdoms. It was like, oh, it's like this. This is what a picture of it is. And so a picture of a kingdom is if there's a ruler and what the ruler says goes. The ruler makes commands or decrees, and that is what's to happen. And so we're to pray that his rules, his commands, his decrees are what happen. And that could sound kind of bad to us because we're conditioned as U.S. Americans in the 21st century to think that what matters most is that I get what I want, that I'm true to myself, that I'm happy, all these things. And anyone kind of giving any input, a little too much input, telling me what to do, nuh-uh. But, boy, I don't ever do that, but I just did. Okay, anyway, you never know what's going to happen up here. I'm talking to myself. All right, now. Back. But listen, when Jesus came, the thing that he talked about as he was walking the earth more than anything else is the kingdom. Sometimes he'd say the kingdom, sometimes the kingdom of God, sometimes the kingdom of the heavens. But what he was talking about is that what God would want to happen is happen could happen, and he'd say, it's good news. It's available to you. You can have the kingdom. You can have access to things happening the way that they happen in heaven, to things happening the way they are supposed to happen. Heaven and earth, you know, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, like here and now as it is eternally the way it's supposed to. And it did happen on earth as it was in heaven when creation came into being, when there was a Garden of Eden. Heaven and earth came together. Everything that happened on the earth in paradise happened like it was in heaven. And so there was abundance of good things. There was harmony in relationship. There was no inner shame or self-hatred. There was no pain. There was no death. There was work to do, purpose to do, and it was joyful and life-giving and fulfilling. Heaven and earth came together. Now, when that got shattered, there was still ways of saying, like, we want God to come in his presence so that heaven would come on earth. And they had a tent, a tabernacle, a temple. They had a space that was designated as different so that heaven could come to earth in that space. We talked for 7 weeks about a Sabbath. They had a day of the week that was supposed to be different to give a picture of heaven coming into the dimension of time. Like, it's different. It's more like heaven on the Sabbath day. And then a person comes, a person who is God himself, but comes as a human being, and heaven and earth come together in a person. And when that person comes, this is the greatest display that we have of heaven coming to earth in our time and how things work in the here and now, because he was one who was greater than the temple. Him coming into space was even more of heaven than the temple they tried to create, the sacred space they tried. He was the Lord of the Sabbath. Him coming in was even greater than the Sabbath day that they held. Like, this is the day that gets us in touch with eternity. Well, he is the person that gets us in touch with eternity even more than that. And by the end, by the time he died and rose again and ascended into heaven, the Adam, he was the second Adam, like a new race of humans came, a new creation. The seeds of that were planted, that people will live after death into eternity. This is what happens when heaven comes to earth in the person of Jesus. It's big. And he says, pray that your kingdom would come like that. What else happened when he's here? He just gave us pictures of it. Somebody's sick, he'd heal them. Somebody's blind, they could see again. Somebody's overlooked and diminished and nobody ever sees them, and he calls them daughter and restores the people into community. People are hungry and they get fed. This is what it looks like. This is what the kingdom looks like. This is good. And Jesus says, pray that into people. Pray that into situations. Pray your kingdom come. May it happen here as you want it to happen. Because all that he wants is good. What he came to bring was freedom and forgiveness and love and joy. He gives it. And so he says, pray that. Because there's plenty of the opposite of that here. But we can pray the kingdom. May your kingdom come into this situation. Now, it's easy to kind of get lost in kind of like, how does prayer work? Like, if God knows everything, and isn't God going to just do everything the same anyways, and he's in control of all things and in charge of all things, so what does it matter? Well, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. Like, how God runs the universe, I don't know. But I do know that Jesus says prayer is a big part of how life works and how we're to relate to God. And I don't think he says, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, but if you don't, it's not going to make any difference. I just don't think that's how he's rolling. He has set it up so that what we do and what we pray does make a difference. And that's found all the way through the Bible. That's found with Moses, where a whole nation's trajectory is changed based on the prayers of one person, or Abraham, where some family members are spared that weren't going to be spared based on the prayers of Abraham. Like, the prayers make a difference. Now, God is overall. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And he will move all things to fulfill his purposes in the end, and we can trust him in that. But what is also true is how he has created the world we live in to operate is that what you and I do does make an impact. We have, it talks about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have the ability to say, God, all that you want to have happen, we want to unlock that and bring more of it in, or we don't. So we can't save ourselves. We could never earn it, be good enough, or we can't do that. But we can make a difference, and we know that we don't get very far on our own, so we constantly ask for his help. Grace is his activity, helping us more than we could do on our own. That's what your kingdom come means. So we want to pray that. We want his kingdom to come into situations. And if I kept reading, you know, I just read those four verses that ended, lead us not into temptation. Jesus goes on to tell a story about a guy who shows up in the middle of the night asking for food. And the neighbor's like, no, bro, I'm not coming down. Like, it's night, I got kids, and you know, back then I'd have to, there's a lot to do to come down and get you bread. It's not like we got fridges and stuff like that. And he says, but he just stays with it. If the person stays with it, the guy will bring bread down. And he says, so when you're talking to your father, ask and keep on asking, and it'll be given. Seek and keep on seeking, and you'll find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Because prayer does make a difference. And he tells a story a little bit later, and the story is about a persistent widow, got ripped off, needs justice, and just keeps showing up to a judge who doesn't really care about her. But he just keeps coming and just keeps coming, and it says before he tells that story, Jesus told that story so that they would keep praying and not give up. Because somehow our prayers over time make a difference. So that's one thing. And because I want to get into the your will be done part two, I'm going to not tell a bunch of stories about this. But I've just got to tell you, like, this is true. I get that there are things, probably most of us have had times in our life, or in a time in our life, where we are praying for one thing especially, one thing the most, for that person who's really sick in our family, for that relationship to change, and we just don't see any answers. And so then we think, well, I guess prayer doesn't work at all. But I'm here to tell you, I think every time we pray, we unlock something from heaven to come into our lives that's good. And most of it seems invisible to us, but if we weren't to do that, there would be less good coming into our lives. And if we really believed what the Bible says about prayer, we would be running to sign up for that thing. Everybody would say, every day I am finding time to pray, and I am going to pray, your kingdom come into this person because I love that person. Your kingdom come to this situation because it seems like a mess, but I know God can do it. Every day, because we would be opening up more of heaven to come. Now, next passage, your will be done. So Matthew 6, verse 10, here's the other time that we get what we call the Lord's Prayer, and it's more fully given. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here as it is there. That means that everything that happens on earth isn't the same as in heaven. Everything that happens on earth isn't the same as what God truly wants to happen. He will move all things toward good, but it's not all good. And we can pray for more of the good. May your will be done. Now, what did this look like in Jesus' life? Here's a prayer that we looked at last week. Jesus says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus, what does he want? What does he want? He doesn't want to go to the cross. He doesn't want to go through the torture. He doesn't want to take all what it means spiritually to take all of our wrongdoing onto him and to bear hell. He doesn't want that. And yet he says, but I'm not going to pray, take that away. I'm going to pray, Father, glorify your name. Here's another passage. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. This is the night before he ends up getting crucified. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He was feeling, in his humanity, he is feeling it. He is sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. So Jesus says in verse 39, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. What I want, Jesus says, is not to go through this. There is nothing that any human is going to endure that can compare to what he endured by taking everything of the world upon himself. It wasn't just the torture, the excruciating way to die, that is not good. It's beyond that. He said, that's not what I want. But I want what you want. And if this is the way, then I'll go in it. Now, let me just say, if I was advising Jesus back then, I think I would have been like, no. This is a bad plan. You are unbelievable. Everything you decide is good for people. So instead of like cutting your life short and leaving it here now, how about you actually just take the lead in all this religious stuff where they are not doing it right? How about if you actually call on those angels and take over in this region, or even Rome itself? Wouldn't it be better if you did that? How is dying going to be better? I'd be in his ear. And he'd be saying, get behind me, Satan. I'd be one of the people who says, like, let's make him king now. But then when he doesn't want to be king in the way that I want him to be king, walk away from him. The crowd that says, Hosanna in the highest, and then a few days later, crucify him. Because Jesus is not just about changing the circumstances of our life and working on the circumstance of life. He's most about changing our hearts. And what he did in that sacrifice of love brings forgiveness, allows us to be welcomed, allows us to have life after death. What he did in his little movement, which looked like it would never come close to the Roman Empire, with all their buildings and government and armies and land they were in control, that his movement would outlast that one, but it sure has. His was a movement of love, but his was a movement that's different than my ways. And Jesus was willing to say, not my will, from the humanness and what it means for me, but your will be done. And I got to tell you, a realization this week for me is that a lot of my prayer is this: God, my will be done. God, please, my will be done. Please hear my will be done. Please hear my will be done. My will be done, my will be done, my will be done. We pray because it does change things. But most of all, maybe, we pray so we get changed. that we want what he wants. And we love what he loves. And we become the kind of person who would do what he does. Because most of the answers of prayer, God is going to do through people. So it's not just do I pray this thing, but do I become the kind of person that would be the answer to my own prayer? Would I become the kind of person that would be the answer to what someone else is praying for someone? And that gets to, like, not what I want, whatever you want. Just start here. So in the last couple weeks, Matt and I had two different experiences. Mine was with Scott and Becky Dykstra, who are doctors over in Pella. Go to First Church in Pella, which is one of the churches in the Sending Network that we're connected to. They, later this year, with their three kids, seven and under, are going to move to Japan. They're going to be done being doctors. They aren't going on a medical mission. They aren't going on a one-year or a two-year thing. They are going for life to Japan. Because the percentage of people that know Jesus in Japan is like super tiny. Super, super tiny. And millions and millions and millions of people don't know Jesus in Japan. And they care about that, because that matters for eternity. And so their kids have all kinds of toys. And they're each given a duffel bag. Whatever toys they want and they can get in that duffel bag, that's what's going to go with them to Japan. And the rest, they'll give away. Because they have gotten hearts that matches God's heart. And then Matt tells me a story about a friend who not that long ago wasn't following Jesus at all, not even close, but had his life changed radically by Jesus. He went on a short-term mission trip, and he and his wife, who's expecting to get, are going to go to Afghanistan. Not my will, but your will be done. Pray for a whole hour? Go live in Afghanistan? Because that could be a place where I could be an answer of prayer and bring the love of Jesus. Let me tell you how this muscle works has worked for me for a little bit, or in life. I remember being in college and going to a Bible study my sophomore year across campus. And I walked across campus with a Bible. And I thought, God is lucky. I'm doing this. I'm not even worried about what people think. I'm going to walk across the campus with a Bible in my hand. I mean, really. I did think that. And eventually in that Bible study, my Bible study leader encouraged that we would go to a thing called chapter camp. Chapter camp at the end of the week. Did I see Kevin Stitzworth here? I think he went to chapter camp, right? Anyway, so chapter camp for a week. This is my only week off in the summer. I work concrete 40-plus hours a week all summer long. I do not want my 1 week off to be going to some Bible churchy kid. But there was a little part of me that was like, I think that's what God wants me to, you know, that's probably what I'm supposed to do. But that, no. But my roommate, he's like, I'm going. We were back and forth, waffling and waving, and my roommate's like, I'm going. And that kind of like, if he had said like, I'm not going, nope, nah, I'm not going either. But then when he said he was going, like, kept the pressure on. And I went. Like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And that's the place, the first day. 2 hours alone with God, never had anything like that in my life. And I just completely surrendered my life to God. I had known my whole life I was supposed to be a pastor. But there's no way I wanted to be a pastor. That is, nobody likes pastors. No offense to the pastors I had. I kind of liked my pastors, but anyway. And so that was a big moment, but it just exercised a muscle that I would keep using or not use from time to time. One more from college. I played basketball at Central College my senior year. I'm starting. And there's an Urbana missions trip conference for 5 days leading up to New Year's Day. Well, basketball, we get a few days off, but we had to be back for basketball practice. And they're saying, like, you need to go, you should go, you need to go. And like, I know that it's a good thing to do, but, like, there's a few big men. There's a couple point guards. I'm a shooting guard. There's, like, 20 of them ready to step into my spot. And I don't want to make the coach upset and not get this spot. But then there's just something that was like, that's what you're supposed to do. And so I went. Camille and I weren't engaged yet, but I remember praying with her in a hallway, Lord, wherever you want us to go. In the whole world, we went through a missions, through a field house that had where you could go anywhere in the world. They had missions people going everywhere. And we don't know, wherever you want us to go. I had a dream there. And somebody interpreted the dream that I would end up working at Third Church. And 3 weeks later, without me initiating it, I got offered a job. Now, none of that might have happened, or that all might have still happened if I didn't go. But here's what wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have surrendered and been like, whatever you want, and become the kind of person who wants what God wants more, who's willing to do what God asks you to do, even when it's not what you want to do. And I'm still not that kind of person a lot of the time. But in some of the big decisions, it helps me to become that kind of person in a day-to-day way. And in doing it in the day-to-day way helps me to be that kind of person or not that kind of person. You know, Matt and I prayed on Tuesday, just so kind of like, wow. Afghanistan. They're going to go to Japan. Camille and I said, anywhere in the world. And we're in Knoxville. But we're still missionaries. And if you believe in Jesus, he wants you to be his missionary wherever he's got you. We pray, God, whatever you want, may what you want to happen, happen in this situation, and it makes a difference. But we also pray, whatever you want with me, so I can be an answer to some of this. And as we prayed about that, just not wanting to lose touch, Matt's got that kind of heart too, like wherever, whenever, but not wanting to lose touch with that or get comfortable. Like if there's new things, if there's something, then, and literally the next day, there's something that was not on my radar screen where I'm like, ugh. But you know what? If that's what you want. And there's two things now, and one is just some things for this week. It's not like leaving the country or, you know, packing up my stuff, but it still matters. What do you want? I want to be the kind of person who wants what he wants and who gets used in a way that the good things that happened when Jesus was here, that people that would come to know God and his love would happen through me. I want that for all of us. So have the worship team come up, and we'll pray, and maybe what will happen to you is what happened to me, and that is by just opening up like, God, is there something you want? Maybe it's something you already know, but maybe something will come to mind. You realize God is asking you for something. It could be very little. Dallas Willard, my favorite writer, says that we don't hear from God more because we aren't going to do what he says anyway. So maybe we say, like, God, we want to do what you want us to do. We're not very good at it. But if you let us know, and you help us, we'll try. How about there? I just said the prayer. I just said the prayer. I don't think we need for me to keep going on and on.